Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. I am so excited today as we're finally going to address a topic that's been on a lot of people's radar lately, and that's the Blood Moon Prophecies, which are scheduled to conclude this Monday, September 28th. So Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries has shared with us before about this event and has agreed to come and answer the questions that you've sent in and speak to the false teachings that are being so widespread that are putting fear in the hearts of believers and non-believers. So Dr. Swanson...
Hello.
Has dedicated his life to working with college campus youth, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to them, the truth that matters, and sound biblical teaching. He also has a ministry that addresses current cultural affairs in light of the eschatological end times data in God's Word. We are going to open this morning in prayer, so please join me. Heavenly and everlasting Father, creator of all things, you are the one who has put the stars and planets in their place. It is by your hand that we were created for your glory. There is no one like you. We seek your wisdom and truth today as we search your word to address the issue of the blood moons. We ask for divine illumination through your Holy Spirit that we might know your heart and see your hand in all things. Guard our hearts, our minds, our very souls from false prophets and teachings in these challenging times. Help us to remain steadfast in your word, for it is by your very spirit that it has been given for our good. We ask this in your son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for the prayer, Leslie. This topic of false end time teachings is huge.
It is huge.
Amen. It ties to eternal matters. The concern at hand, end time issues, is now actually getting to the point of potentially having a bearing in determining one's eternal state, and I'm not exaggerating here. I assume we believe that the issue of one's eternal existence is a most pressing matter, right?
Right.
Well, due to the importance of this broadcast, folks who are listening, please have pen and paper in hand so you can write down the Bible references whereby you can study this topic for yourselves. And Leslie, I want to thank you. I just thank the Lord that he has graced us with Bible passages which provide insight, needed insight in evaluating prophetic claims, and thank you for being willing to help us communicate those. God's counsel is most helpful to us today, and we need to seek it out. We'd encourage folks to go to Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 and following, Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, Jeremiah chapters 23 through 29, and other New Testament passages for second to none wisdom for today and bright hope for tomorrow. For God is good. Leslie, God is good all the time.
All the time, John, God is good.
Amen.
And before we develop this theme of false prophetic appeals, let's cover one thing.
Okay.
First, how about explaining in general what the teaching of the blood moons is and what are the basic tenets of this view?
Okay, Leslie, could I answer this kind of setting the context question of yours by referring to what we've said in past broadcasts?
Please.
Okay. Well, in early December of last year, we expressed our initial concern regarding the false 2014-2015 blood moon appeals. The incorrect prophetic teaching on the blood moons, in summary, is this. The advocates of the position teach the four blood moons of 2014-2015 are direct fulfillments of Joel chapter 2, verses 10, 30, 31, Acts 2, 19 and 20, and Luke 21, verses 25 through 28, and other passages. Well, these blood moons, so these, what we believe to be false teachers say, are astronomical sign events which take place just prior to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the basic teaching, and we initially voiced concern on this matter last year. Well, on Valentine's Day of this year, we, in following the love theme, you know, speaking the truth in love, that is calling out for the acting out of expressions of love for our family in Christ as we apply 1 John 5, 2, etc. Well, on Valentine's Day of this year, we introduced why the main premise of the blood moon theory is absolutely false in light of Bible truth. We made bold statements as to why those who promote the blood moon teachings are indeed false prophets. We based our warnings on Bible facts, especially in light of the chronological data in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 31. And recently, in early July, we further addressed the false appeals that teach the Bible passages we just mentioned are fulfilled in the blood moons of 2014-2015. But when we go to these passages, we find in black and white that these texts actually categorically deny the blood moon teachings of Mark Biltz, John Hagee, Mike Rosedale, and others. So we've presented three prior broadcasts on this topic, and we've done so because it's an extremely important present cultural concern. So all that to say this, Leslie, we have good reason to be concerned here.
And I agree wholeheartedly. Just by the number of emails and notes that we've received from our listeners over the past 2 years, we've determined that this is of a great concern to them. They're confused and scared, but most of all, falling prey to the many false teachings about these events and not understanding the consequences for their lives. And that's why I asked you to come and help give us some good Bible study searching for God's Word on this matter to help our listeners go away with the truth. Mm-hmm. And what we'd like to emphasize in today's broadcast is this. In light of the main premise of this view, a view which I have to say takes Scripture out of context and which does not honor the full counsel of the Word of God, we need to throw off this false teaching of the blood moons, for it contributes to the very thing our Lord Jesus counseled us against, ill-preparedness.
Ill-preparedness is a big deal. So I say absolutely, you're absolutely right. Our Lord Jesus, as recorded in Matthew 13, says, quote, "What I say to you, I say to all, watch," unquote. So our Lord Jesus has called us to readiness, and that includes discerning and marking some of the false end-time teachings today. But just in case I've not been clear, allow me to restate in slightly different words what I've just said, because it's important. The final blood moon event is this coming Monday, September 28th. The basic teaching of the four blood moons of 2014-2015 is that these four full lunar eclipse events are direct fulfillments of the end-time prophecies which state there will be astronomical signs prior to our Lord's return. The sign of the moon turning blood-like, the false teachers say, are the blood moons of 2014-2015. So if you read John Hagee's book carefully, this is exactly what he teaches time and time again. And yet, from an explicitly biblical perspective, it cannot be that these blood moons fulfill Joel 2, Acts 2, Matthew 24-29, Mark 13-24, Luke 21:25-28, Revelation 6:12-13, and other sign passages. And I'll repeat these references for those of you who are taking notes so you can study these passages. So it's impossible that the blood moons fulfill these passages. So Leslie, at this juncture, I ask, do you feel like we've adequately explained the concern?
I think we have. So moving right along, John, how would you suggest we proceed from here?
Well, Leslie, do you remember this? And what is it so as to inform our radio listeners?
You're showing me an ace of spades from a deck of cards.
So you're not opposed to calling a spade a spade?
No.
Okay, well, good thing. But, you know, many today are not willing to do so. That is, most are not willing to call a spade a spade. So I'd encourage us to prayerfully consider doing the countercultural thing. Well, in this setting, it's the biblical thing. And persist in calling a false prophet just that? A false prophet in light of biblical truth? And let's do so in the setting of speaking his truths in love. So applying this issue of, well, we don't want to be judgmental, but we want to speak his truths in love, we want to do it in a less personal way. In other words, please understand, audience, we're not attacking the individuals. We're seeking to expose the false teachings. We need to mark the false teachings. So we're not trying to be divisive here. We're seeking the truth on this pertinent matter. So I ask, when a prophetic speaker puts forth an end-time appeal and it fails to come to pass, or when a false teacher does not rightly teach that which the Word of God explicitly states, does the Word of God counsel us as to how we should respond?
Yes, it does, John, and very much so.
Okay, and specifically in the setting of false predictions, how so?
Well, when we were studying the Old Testament prophets, we also studied Deuteronomy 18:20, 13:1-5, which give guidelines for evaluating prophetic appeals.
Yes.
And Jeremiah chapters 23-29, 1 John, and other passages are also most helpful in giving crucial heart of the Savior shepherding care.
That's crucial. The Lord's heart cares about some of the false shepherds that
Absolutely.
Bring false messages. Well, the 2014-2015 blood moon prophets have made contrary to Scripture appeals, and we need to persist with love and with God-honoring intent. We need to persist in being willing to call them on these important matters. For example, John Hagee is one of the more public promoters of the dangerous Blood Moon prophecies. Well, allow me to use his teaching ministry as we point out some of our specific concerns. And for your information, we've contacted the John Hagee ministries saying we would like to communicate to you some concerns we have, and we haven't heard from them, but we try to make contact with these that we're concerned about. Well, while denying important cultural considerations and while contributing to great confusion as to the full counsel of the Word of God, Hagee, in his false prophecy appeals, exposes his hand. Well, here are four reasons why those who honor the Scriptures have known for quite some time that the blood moons of 2014-2015 are emphatically not the fulfillments of Joel 2, Acts 2, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Revelation 6. We know this for four reasons. The first reason is this. If one were to read the full context of end-time events of Luke 21 and Matthew 24, 3-31, where chronology is given, one would find the word teaching many things take place before the heavenly signs of Matthew 24:29 and Luke 21:25. For example, the tribulation and the great tribulation period, which are yet to take place as of this radio broadcast, and no one who allows the biblical text to say what they say denies this, well, that the tribulation and the great tribulation have taken place. Well, the tribulation and the great tribulation period are events which are also included in this list of events which precede the astronomical signs. Matthew 24:29 teaches the astronomical signs unfold, quote, immediately after the tribulation of those days, quote. And these heavenly signs also precede the final trumpet rapture gathering. So for more details on this, because our time is limited, please listen to a past radio broadcast at heartofthesaviorministries.org. The link to past broadcasts is on the top of the homepage. For further information on the Matthew 24 chronology, click the link titled, quote, A Prophetic Observation of Matthew 24. It aired on February 14th of this year. Also, visit Endurance Ministries website, where an important worksheet is posted on chronological end-time matters. So go to endmin.com, visit the Frequently Asked Question page number 2, and on that page, you'll find Frequently Asked Question number 26. So click, quote, this link, unquote, posted at the bottom of the article, and you're good to go. Well, Luke 21 also teaches a similar progression. And by the way, Leslie, Hagee not only wrongly teaches the rapture will take place before the tribulation, but also offers to those who would follow him this contradiction. He believes the next prophetic event on God's timetable is the rapture. This is a quote from his Prophecy Study Bible, which he still believes today. On page 1468, he says, quote, the next prophetic event on God's timetable is the rapture, unquote. Well, how can he say this? Well, at the same time say the 2014-2015 blood moons are prophetic sign events taking place today. How can this be said and retain credibility, Leslie? It's an outright contradiction. There are indeed many contradictions we find in Hagee's work if people were to take the time to carefully look over the material. So number one problem, Hagee denies the chronology of Matthew 24 and has to take passages out of context in order to make his prophetic predictions. Leslie, you remember the last two broadcasts we did together, right?
You bet I do.
Yeah, the ones that made appeal that we rightly divide the word of truth, that we incorrectly interpret the word of God. Well, these faulty hermeneutical decisions on the part of some, incorrect interpretation, in this case of Hagee, are in part Hagee's Achilles heel, for they lead to false teaching and indirectly to false prophetic appeal.
You know, you're not to take God's word out of context. Read it for what it is, neither add nor take away from it. Right?
Amen.
So what's our second concern?
Our second concern is related to the Matthew 24, Luke 21 chronology, but this concern is found in the context of the book of Revelation. Well, this progression of end-time events also teaches many end-time events take place before the heavenly signs of Revelation 6, verses 12 and 13. So the events of Revelation 6, 1 through 11 have not yet all taken place. So how can some blood moon advocates say the blood moons of last year and this year are fulfillments of these passages which foretell the coming of astronomical sign events before our Lord's return? There's simply no way one can do so and at the same time be faithful to the explicit data of Scripture. No way.
Okay, John, there are events which precede the event of the heavenly signs which have not yet taken place.
Right.
But aren't there also other events which are supposed to take place at the same time the moon turns blood-like, but which have not taken place to date?
You've read those passages then, huh?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Well, that's where we get insight, and this insight that you just mentioned actually leads us to the third reason why we reject the blood moon theories. Third reason, the blood moons have not included other aspects or events as recorded in these heavenly sign passages. For example, the sun has not darkened. The stars have not fallen from the heavens. A great earthquake, unquote, unquote, has not taken place. But Joel 2 and Revelation 6 state an earthquake takes place at the same time the moon turns blood-like. So, well, there's an increase in the number and intensity of earthquakes today, but this is happening during the Matthew 24-7 period, which we are now in, called the beginning of sorrows. This is not the earthquake singular, which immediately follows the tribulation of those days. And for clarity's sake, we believe Joel 2, Acts 2, Matthew 24, 29, Mark 13, 24, Luke 21, and Revelation 6, 12, and 13 are passages all referring to the same future event. Future to the date of this radio session, while the earthquakes taking place today are unfolding during the time of sorrows, of which we are now a part of. So reading the text and affirming the data therein clearly speaks to these explicit facts, as we state in our book and on some of our online posts. Facts are stubborn things. Again, Leslie, this is related to hermeneutical appeal, that we allow Scripture to say what it actually says.
So I'd like to make sure we're hearing you correctly by summarizing what you've been saying.
Okay.
So according to Scripture, we have end-time events like the abomination of desolation and the Great Tribulation that should have preceded the blood moons of 2014-15, but which haven't taken place. And we have other events like the sun darkening, the stars falling from the heavens, and a great earthquake unfolding during these four blood moons. That is during the past 2 years.
Correct.
Which also have not taken place. This is a concern, to say the least. Is this an accurate assessment?
Yes, Leslie, very much so, indeed.
So isn't it fair to ask on what grounds then are the blood moons fulfillments of the astronomical sign passages?
Well, it's a very fair question to ask, Leslie, and a good one, and actually most pertinent in that it addresses current cultural affairs. To which I answer your question, there sincerely are not good grounds to embrace the blood moon theories, Leslie. Allow me to make two comments, though, before we get to the final reason why we should reject the 2014-2015 blood moon prophecies, and this is important for clarification purposes, big time.
Okay.
Listening audience, please discern, it is not that we are denying the fact that we are in the very end times. We passionately believe we are in the closing days before our Lord's initial appearing. It's the false, misleading end time teachings of some that we're most concerned about. And number two, folks, you need to understand we're not denying the Bible prophecies regarding the moon turning blood-like. In fact, we herald this event, singular, as yet another sign which will take place before the day of Christ, the day of the Lord begins, as explicitly stated in Joel 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, and other passages. What we oppose and take strong exception to are the ways some interpret the astronomical Bible prophecies. Because of incorrect interpretation of the moon turning blood-like prophecies, some have chosen to speak falsely, and we, with caring, Bible-affirming, God-honoring intent, speak out and expose these errors, because some have decided to apply the moon-turning blood-like prophecies to the blood moons of 2014-2015. They have become false prophets. On their own volition, they have chosen to promote this false teaching. And we haven't even touched upon the event, this is singular, of the moon turning blood-like. Not four events, plural, unfolding over the course of 2 years as the blood moon advocates teach. This is yet another false interpretation, as opposed to the clear data of the moon turning blood-like prophecies. So Leslie, we need to better exercise discernment as to rightly handling the Word of God.
So how about the fourth and final reason?
Well, because time is waning, let the listening audience discern for themselves as to the fourth reason, as to why those who honor the Scriptures have known for quite some time that the blood moons of last year and this year are emphatically not the fulfillments of these astronomical signs.
Oh, please don't do that, John. Okay, let's let the listening audience come up with five reasons.
Okay. But you are right. There are additional reasons that we don't have time to cover. Well, let me quickly hit reason number four. And I'll state it through a question to you if I could. Jesus' teaching on the Mount of Olives is what, Leslie?
It's our Lord's address on the end of days just prior to his return.
Yes. My bad for not being more clear. Let me narrow the question in order to get to my final reason why the rejection of the blood moon prophecy is a biblical thing to do. So I apologize for my lack of clarity here. Here's the more specific question, sorry. Does the Olivet Discourse emphasize the rapture event, or does it emphasize the second coming?
Well, it primarily emphasizes the second coming of Jesus Christ and that which takes place prior to his return.
Yes, Leslie. Amen. Luke 21 is a parallel passage with Mark 13 and Matthew 24:25, and is a passage which emphasizes just that, his return and the events and themes taking place just prior to his return. While it does include the global gathering together of the elect, our Lord focuses on highlighting that which takes place prior to the rapture being outlined in Matthew 24, Mark 13, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, Revelation 11, and Revelation 14. So, in light of the teaching position of most of the blood moon prophets today, how in the world can one teach the sign passages of Matthew 24:29 and Luke 21:25 are the astronomical signs for the church today if they also believe we won't be here for the tribulation and great tribulation events? It makes no sense when one says one thing and then shortly thereafter goes on to say just the opposite. It's one reason why our Lord's chronology of end time events in Matthew 24 is so important. Well, the majority of the pre-tribulationists up till recently just taught that the church will be raptured before the events of Matthew 24, thus the emphasis on the imminent signless return of Jesus Christ. But once again, Leslie, just like the pre-trib rapture is not taught in Scripture explicitly, the doctrine of imminence is also not taught in Scripture. The word imminence, quote-unquote, is not found in the so-called imminent rapture passages. One major version of the Bible, the New American Standard, uses, quote, imminent, unquote, in 2 Peter 1:14, but this is not an imminent rapture passage. This is very telling, Leslie. The pre-trib rapture view is not in Scripture. The main inference used to support the pre-trib view, imminence, is not in Scripture. The blood moons of 2014-2015, as declared by the false prophets, are not in Scripture. So, wow! But this is not known by most. That's why we passionately share it today, for endurance sake. So the fourth reason for questioning the blood moon appeals is tied to the application of the advice God gives us concerning false prophets. Those promoting false teachings, if they've taught wrongly in the past, let's at least be willing to question their new appeals they're making today.
All right. Yeah. So how might we respond to the concerns we've raised today?
Well, our plea is simple, but absolutely necessary. Let's go back to the Word of God and let it say what it explicitly says.
Amen.
For our protection, for the gospel, ultimately for His glory and praise.
Amen, amen.
Well, our time is spent, so I close with the asking of one final question, if I could. In light of the erroneous 2014-2015 blood moon claims on the part of the false prophets, and in light of the fact that the fourth blood moon will take place this coming Monday, how should we respond? Or as someone else has said in the past, how shall we now live?
Well, John, our time is just about up, so let's address this good question, this question of how we should proceed once this Monday's blood moon event, without doubt, fails to be the true, that is, the biblical event of the moon turning blood-like. Let's talk about that next week, okay?
Okay, we'll put that off.
All right. So, folks, Dr. Swanson has made available to everyone helpful resources and a blog for discussing these truths that matter on his websites. He's also written a wonderful book titled The Final Trumpet Gathering, An Introduction. I think I got that right, which is available on Amazon now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can go to www.endmin.org. And pick up some of those resources, right?
Yes, please do.
Okay, so we hope you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, and that you will make God's Word a part of your every breath that you take this week. Listen in next week when Dr. Swanson will join us once again to address what now after the blood moon of September 28th. And always, in his service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson and my guest and friend, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.